Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you have joined us. This morning, I want to begin a series of lessons from John 14, 15, 16, and 17, four chapters, where Jesus is speaking to his apostles in the upper room as they leave the upper room, some words there, and then on their way through the city of Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he'll be arrested and later tried and then put on the cross. When you read these four chapters, the statement, "these things," shows up in all four chapters. "These things I have spoken unto you." Jesus had some important words for his disciples on the night that he would be betrayed. And we want to look at these words over the next 4 weeks, and I hope that you'll join us for this study. Now, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. Judas is not with them. He's gone to betray the Lord. But the other 11 are with him, and he says some things that are very important, not only for them, but also for us. Now, there are some things that are going to be for them only, particularly the matter of the coming of the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. That's not a promise for all mankind. It was a promise for them, and it began to be fulfilled on them alone on the day of Pentecost. But there are other things that not only apply to them, but apply to us. And the way we know that is, rather than just asserting that, the way we know that is that there are things that are said to the apostles that are not promises to all Christians, such as the coming of the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. That's not a promise to all Christians. But there are some other statements that Jesus makes to them that elsewhere in the New Testament are repeated for all Christians, such as loving Jesus and keeping his commandments, or prayer and asking in the Lord's name, and other things like that. And so, as we go through this study, I will be pointing out these statements that applied to the disciples only, these matters involving the coming of the Holy Spirit, but I will also be pointing out things for us today that apply to all Christians today. And we would encourage you to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ, to have these great blessings in your life as well. So let's begin this morning with John chapter 14, and let's look at this great chapter on our program this morning. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus is in the upper room. There is the last Passover meal. There's the institution of the Lord's Supper. Jesus washes their feet to show an example of service. Judas leaves to go betray the Lord, and Jesus has some closing remarks to Peter and some matters to him. And then look at chapter 14 and verse 1. Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus says to the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." The reason he said that was they realized that Jesus was going away. In chapter 13 and verse 36, "Whether I go, you cannot follow me now." He was going to the cross. That was something that he needed to do. And so they knew he was going away, and their hearts are troubled. Do you have troubled hearts? Look at the solution that Jesus gives to troubled hearts. Number one, believe in God. Number two, believe also in me. And number three, in my Father's house are many mansions, speaking of heaven. If we're troubled, belief in God, belief in Christ, and having our minds focused on going to heaven, that will help us through troubled times. We need to believe in God, and there is evidence for his existence. We need to believe in Jesus, and there is evidence for his existence. And we need to keep our minds focused on heaven. And Jesus says that heaven is a prepared place. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place. But listen, friends, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. You have to be prepared to go there. Jesus has prepared a place for his followers in heaven, but you have to be prepared. You have to obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, and live faithfully to the best of your ability, and you'll be prepared for Jesus coming again, and he can take you to be with heaven. But in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks of hell as a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is just as much prepared as heaven is prepared. Are you preparing your life to go to heaven or to go to hell? What a great promise this is for all of Christ's faithful followers. Heaven, it's a prepared place. Let's be ready to go there. And when Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place, he then goes on to say in verse 4, "And whither I go, you know the way." Jesus is going back to his Father, and he had been teaching them and showing them the way to the Father. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither you go. How know we the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." First of all, Jesus teaches about heaven and the importance of going there. And then, secondly, he says, "I'm the way to that place. I'm the way to the Father who is in heaven." This is how we get there. And notice that Jesus said, "I am the way," singular, not one of many ways to God. Today it's about many ways: Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, the occult, whatever, many kinds of ways. No, there's just one way to the Father. And it makes sense that Jesus, being deity himself, would lead us to deity. So he is the way. And then he says, "I am the truth," singular, not many truths. Not everybody has their own truth, but his truth. He presented the words of God to people in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." God's word is truth, and Jesus presented that truth, but not truths, plural, but truth, singular, and it's contained in the New Testament, and the life. This is not talking about physical life. They already had physical life. This is the spiritual life, a life without sin and in fellowship with God. And notice it's the life, not one of many lives. So the singular, "I am the way." I am. This is one of Jesus' "I am" statements in John. "I am the light of the world. I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. I am the way." Several "I am" statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And this is the way to get to the Father. And you and I, friends, need to follow that same way. Look at what Jesus says. No one comes unto the Father but by me. We need to set aside all these other things and come to the Father through Jesus. And then let's look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Look at verse 7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. So, Jesus and God are one, not one in number, but one in nature. And when Jesus said that he was in the Father and the Father was in him, he's talking about a close relationship. And to see Jesus is to see God. Jesus was God with us. He was deity, not God the Father. There are three separate beings who are deity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the Word was God. He was deity, and the Word became flesh. John 1:14, deity became flesh. And so he was deity, and because he did his Father's works and words, when you're hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus, you're hearing the Father and seeing the Father. So Jesus teaches the integral relationship that he has with his Father. God, the Father, is invisible. God is invisible. He's a spirit. He's invisible. But how do we see him? We see him in the man, Jesus. Deity, part of deity, God the Son, became flesh so that we can physically see what God is like. I'm not talking about looking at the body of Jesus, his hair and his eyes and his skin. I'm talking about looking at his teaching, his ideas, the way he treated people. You are seeing God the Father. And so, this is one of the great arguments for the existence of God, is the humanity of Jesus. There are different ways that you can see a person. When somebody looks at Chris Reeves, they often can see my Father in me. My words, my mannerisms, my actions, my goals, what I try to do, I copy a lot from my Father. And so my Father has passed away several years ago, but you can see my Father in me. And so the same way with regard to Jesus and his Father. So Thomas makes a point or asks a question, and then Philip asks a question, and Jesus is answering these questions. We're going to see later Judas, not Iscariot, will ask another question. So let's look now at verses 11 through 15, where Jesus is going to talk about some privileges that are going to come to the disciples. Look at John 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So let's look at three things here that Jesus says to them. First of all, he says, if they will believe on him, they will do greater works. Works here in John and other places deals with miracles that Jesus performed. But the apostles would do greater than these. And it's not that their miracles would be greater. It would be hard to top, you know, raising someone from the dead or walking on the water or feeding the 5,000. But they would do greater things in this way. He said, because I go unto the Father. That is the explanation of how they would do things that are greater. When he returned to the Father, he sent them into all the world to preach the gospel. And when they started preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost and saving souls from sin through the gospel message, and the church began, and then the church grows, all of these things are greater than the physical miracles or the supernatural miracles that involved physical things during his ministry. The preaching of the gospel and the establishment of the church was even greater than that. So they would have a privilege in doing that. Number two, if you will ask anything in my name. Asking here, of course, is prayer. So prayer is something that is even mentioned elsewhere in Scripture for all believers. And so we have that privilege that if we ask in his name, it will be granted unto us. Ask by his authority. And John will say in 1 John that we need to ask according to his will. So answered prayer is a great privilege. And then Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is actually going to come up more than once. It's a very, very important principle. A lot of people today say, oh, I love Jesus, but do they keep his commandments? His commandments are contained in the New Testament. One command is to repent and be baptized. We need to do that, friends. And there are other commands even after we become a Christian. But if we truly love Jesus, we'll show it by keeping his commandments. So Jesus mentions some privileges. Let's move on now to chapter 14 and verses 16 through 18, where Jesus is going to make the promise here of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one promise that is made to the apostles. It's not made to all believers. And this is where the religious world gets mixed up. I hear verses 16, 17, and 18 apply to all Christians today. It's not. This was given to the apostles. They were going to receive the Holy Spirit. They're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, they're going to begin to speak in tongues and present God's word. So this is for them only. However, we are the recipients of the words of the Spirit as they are recorded in the New Testament. We are recipients of all the truth. Matthew through Revelation is all the truth. Matthew through Revelation are the words of the Holy Spirit given to the apostles. So we are not directly inspired by the Holy Spirit like the apostles were, but we do have the inspired words in our Bible. So look at this promise that was particular to the disciples. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is the Greek word paraclete, literally para, beside, and kletos, to call beside. The Holy Spirit would come in beside the apostles, if you will, and be a helper or an advocate or a comforter, that he may be with you forever. So one member of the Godhead was leaving to go back to the Father, and another member of the Godhead was coming to be with the disciples. What a great thing that was. So they had the earthly ministry of Jesus, and then when he leaves, they will have the miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit's primary function is to present God's words of truth. And so he's called the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholds him not, neither knows him. The world in general does not want the words of the Spirit. They reject that. You know him, for he abides with you and shall be with you. I will not leave you desolate. What a great comfort that is. Literally, the idea of an orphan. I come unto you. In this sense, Jesus came in the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this promise. He's the Spirit of truth. And we'll hear some more about him in just a minute here in chapter 14. So they would have the Holy Spirit guide them into the truth. And we have the words of that truth today. Let's read John 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world beholds me no more. Jesus was headed to the cross, and then some days after that, he would ascend into heaven. But you behold me, because I live, you shall live also. This goes back to Jesus saying, I am the life. He was about to be put to death, but he would rise again on the third day. He would spiritually give them life, and he would continue to live on after his death and his resurrection. And he says, because of that, you shall live also. So they could live spiritually, and then, of course, there's going to be a resurrection day, and they will live in that sense also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This in you statement a lot has to do with fellowship, relationship. It's not talking about being physically inside of someone, but being in a right relationship with them. How does that happen? Verse 21, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. How do we have this in the Father relationship and Jesus in us relationship? How is that? Well, verse 21 explains it, by keeping his commandments. And Jesus goes back to this love. When we love the Father, we keep his commandments. And when we do that, Jesus said, he'll love us. That's a great thing. And will manifest myself unto him. How does Jesus show himself to us today? Not in some physical way. We don't see him with our eyes. We don't have dreams or visions, but he manifests himself in his words that we keep, and we keep his commandments, and he is in us when his commandments are in us. He manifests himself to us when his commandments are in us. Okay? There's an emphasis on the words of Christ in us. Today in the religious world, it's all about feelings and emotions and dreams and visions, and I feel in my heart. It's none of that, friends. It's very simple. The words of Jesus contained in the New Testament, we keep those commandments, we follow those things, and Jesus is in us. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. This is Judas that is also called Thaddeus or Lebbaeus, the brother of James. Judas said unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus is going to manifest himself to us, but not the world. How? When we keep his words in us, when we keep his commandments in us, when we love him and he loves us, that's how he manifests himself to us. He doesn't do that to the world because the world doesn't want his commandments. They don't want to love him. They don't want to keep his commandments. So he's not going to show himself to them. He shows himself to us when we love him and keep his commandments. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my words. That's the world. The world doesn't love Jesus, and the world doesn't want to keep his words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus gave the disciples the Father's words. The Holy Spirit is going to come and give more of the Father's words. And again, friends, I want you to notice something very important in this chapter. It's based upon words, not feelings, not what we think or feel, not dreams, not visions, words. Jesus brings that up over and over and over again. And those words for us today are the words of the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. So the importance of keeping commandments. Look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you while yet abiding with you. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said unto you. So not only would they be guided by the Holy Spirit to learn new things, but the Holy Spirit would help them remember past things, and that's how they can record, for example, the life of Christ, all those things that happened in the past. The Holy Spirit would guide that record as well. And so the Holy Spirit is going to come, just like we read earlier. Verse 27, then, to the end, is one last final statement of peace. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. The world, it has a kind of peace that is only temporary. It's based on physical things. It's constantly changing. It's outward. Jesus' peace is inward. It's permanent. It's based upon spiritual principles. It's always there for us. It doesn't change when outward circumstances change. Let not your heart be troubled. That's how he opened this discourse in chapter 14 and verse 1. Neither let it be fearful. You heard how I said, I go away and I come unto you. That's through the Holy Spirit. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of the world, this is a reference to the devil, comes. This would happen with the betrayal in the garden, and the persecution that he would have to go through, going to the cross, and all that kind of thing. But he has nothing in me. The devil cannot conquer Jesus. The betrayal, the trial, the suffering, the cross, the devil would not have victory over Jesus in any of those things. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence. Jesus was fulfilling the Father's commands to go to the cross all the way up until the last minute, and he was setting that example. He kept the Father's commandments, so they need to go out and keep the Father's commandments, and that's where true peace would come. Friends, let's set our hearts on heaven. Jesus is the way. Let's pray. Let's obey and love Jesus and keep his commandments. Let's have that inner peace that is in us. What great words for the apostles. And some of those things are for us today, and we can certainly benefit from it. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.